This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
August the 3rd be with you on a Monday morning. Welcome to your work week and welcome into a numbers game. I'm Dustin Sweetelson in for Gil Alexander, as always, with Kelly Bidlin. We got you covered for the next 3 hours here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It is Major League Baseball's trade deadline, and it has been very active. And the thing that jumps out to me, Kelly, as we're sitting here, news is flying in left and right with moves being made, teams planning for not just this year, but next year as well. If you like action, you're listening to our voice. If you like action, that's what today is for. The baseball trade deadline is one of the rare spots on the calendar where Major League Baseball actually delivers excitement for the fans.
It really does. It really does. It brings everybody into it. We were talking about this kind of end of last week. I think it's perfect timing, right? You get a lot of other sports that get out of the way for baseball. And look, this is where a lot of people are kind of landing on baseball for maybe the first time this season and get to ride it out the rest of the way. And you get to figure out what teams are actually going to look like.
Big move was made on Saturday. Tarik Skubal going to the Dodgers. We'll touch on that in just a moment. But since we've been sitting here for the last hour or so, a couple of moves have gone down. Most notably, the Philadelphia Phillies remaining aggressive. And if you remember my appearances on the program a few weeks ago, I did go all in on the Philadelphia Phillies. Since then, they've been one of the worst teams in baseball, like legitimately since the All-Star break. They've been terrible. However, perhaps they've fixed whatever ails them right now. A couple of moves in the last 15 minutes. One, acquiring Luis Arraez, the second baseman from San Francisco, former batting average champion in Major League Baseball. But more importantly, when you think about the playoffs, where hits are at a premium, where contact really matters, you can't just rely on the long ball. You have to manufacture some runs. That is a really shrewd addition for the Philadelphia Phillies in their lineup with so many guys that swing and miss, who go for it all with the home runs. I like the addition of Arraez to come in, play a little second base, also play a little DH, potentially, you know, first base if Bryce Harper needs a blow here and there. I like this move a lot. Mm-hmm. The move that I love, though, is the addition in the bullpen. They add left-handed reliever Brooks Raley, who's been really good when healthy for the New York Mets the last few years. He just hasn't been healthy all that often. And this is key. One of the big offseason moves for Philadelphia was grabbing Brad Keller to become their setup guy. Keller was having a really, really good season. Then he got injured a few weeks ago. Since he's done for the year, that was a huge void, especially for the postseason. You can't have enough legitimate veteran bullpen arms. I think this shores things up for Philadelphia. I also don't know if they're done. I don't know if they're done moving here. Aaron Nola goes tonight for the Phillies. I don't know how you trust him needing him to start as the fourth starter in a playoff series. There are so many other pitchers available. Casey Mize from Detroit, Reed Detmers from the Angels, Robbie Ray sitting there in San Francisco, Foster Griffin in division, Dustin May. You can still find another arm to add to this rotation. Philadelphia is being aggressive. We anticipated Dave Dombrowski doing that. That is his MO as a front office executive in Major League Baseball. And the Philadelphia Phillies, 19-1 to win the World Series. I already have a little bit at 14-1. I will not be going back for more. But I do think you could do worse when you think about how a team sets up for a playoff series with Sanchez, with Wheeler, and Lizardo in that rotation. It's a really strong season for Philadelphia, who's now 10-1 to win the National League. That, to me, is the value, is the 10-1.
Yeah, that's what I was just pulling up. 10-1 to win the NL. I might join you on that, buddy. I got a big bet on them to make the playoffs. That's looking good. However, I guess, wild card race, right? They are in right now. The Padres only one game back of them. The Marlins 1.5 back. I think great points. I love the Arraez addition because we talk about this team and the power bats in it. Just to add more contact, like you said, Dustin, get some players out there on the bases. I think that's going to be a huge addition come the playoffs.
Yeah, I love the move for them. A weird move that on the surface you go, hold on, what's happening here? The Toronto Blue Jays about an hour ago acquired right-handed starter Jose Soriano from the Angels. Mm-hmm. Now, from the Angels' perspective, I don't totally understand it because Soriano has shown so much upside. Detmers has shown upside. But clearly the window for their contention is not anytime soon.
Yep.
So they're moving on from Soriano. They get a bunch of prospects back from the Blue Jays. for Toronto, I love this. They just traded Kevin Gausman, aging guy, expiring contract. They have Shane Bieber going tonight. Maybe they trade him at the deadline. They have a few guys still under contract in this rotation. But think about how the landscape is going to change in baseball potentially next year. If we do actually get a salary cap, this is a young, controllable, right-handed arm who at times is pitched like an ace, at times is pitched more like a middle-of-the-pack guy. I think he has a ton of upside. And just the thought of him pairing with Dylan Cease at the front end of this rotation with Treya Savage, it's certainly an intriguing option for a Blue Jays team having a really down year, coming off Game 7 of the World Series, losing last season to the Dodgers. But they're making a statement that this is one down year. We plan on contending next year, and we're not just going to let guys walk away and not have plans down the road. I really like the way that the Blue Jays are operating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed. This is one where we saw, I mean, reminder, he saw Soriano floating around in that AL Cy Young race earlier in the year. I mean, he was on that board, floating around, four or five names down for seemingly a couple months. So, yeah, maybe a little bit more of a build towards the future move for the Blue Jays, but I like it. Reset, this season didn't go how you thought it was going to go. Great, you can start looking forward to next season.
But the big story from the weekend, and everyone is still complaining about, is Tarek Skubal is a Los Angeles Dodger. Color me shocked that that actually went down. No. I mean, this was always the team that made the most sense, and I am in the rare camp where I think this is good for baseball. People do not agree with me, and I don't understand what you don't understand. Dynasties are the lifeblood of sports. Having an enemy to root against is the key to getting people to watch them, whether you like them, whether you hate them. You are going to be watching the Los Angeles Dodgers this year because they are the new evil empire. They have added the best pitcher in baseball. Tarek Skubal now makes this Dodgers the best rotation we've seen in a very long time. In fact, the Dodgers could field a second rotation with the guys that they have available on this team. But I love this. And if you don't like the Dodgers, you don't like that they did this, then you should be putting way more pressure on your team to make big, bold moves like this, because any of these contending teams could have had Tarek Skubal.
Yep.
The package that nets him to the Dodgers was not so overwhelming that Milwaukee couldn't beat it, that another team couldn't come over the top and give them what they wanted here. But those teams are scared. And Skubal meant more to the Dodgers than anyone else as they go for a three-peat. If you get the VSiN Daily, the newsletter put out by Bill AD every day, you saw yesterday Circa moved the Dodgers from minus 105 to minus 130 to win the National League pennant. They go from plus 185 to plus 140 to win the World Series. You and I were hanging out here at Circa together Saturday night when the deal went down, and we went, well, this should be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. Plus 150 over at DraftKings. Are the Dodgers now to win it all? I think it was, we were here Saturday night. It came down. I don't think any of us were shocked. Any of us were surprised, especially here was the Dodgers. You're surprised by, I mean, the haul they got back, though. This is not a lot. You just said it. I mean, where these other teams that we thought were going to be in the race, kind of shocking. Is the way the Dodgers ended up with
Show
it.
Me you're all in. See, the Dodgers are all in, and everyone complains.
Right, yep.
Everyone complains that the Dodgers, well, they make all this money from the TV deal. They were bankrupt, and Major League Baseball's hooking them up. Don't let these owners lie to you. They all make money hand over fist. They're all going to sell their franchises for way bigger ROI than they ever spent in the first place when they bought them. This is a hobby. This is a toy. This is something they do for fun. And if you're going to do it, you should do it to be a champion. You should do it to win ball games. Los Angeles is committed to that. I know they have more money. I know they have more exposure. But that doesn't mean these other teams couldn't have done this. In fact, the Dodgers showed how much smarter they are than everyone else and how they operated here. They sent prospects that they got for Michael Bush a few years ago, prospects they got for Matt Beattie, a utility guy, to San Diego a few years ago, and they moved them in this trade to Detroit. Okay? Not only are they spending, but they're being very smart in the way they operate year in and year out with the way they maneuver in their minor league system. Dave Roberts said it after this trade went down, quote, "There's nothing that we did that no one else could have done. I just love our front office." He's right. Anyone else could have had Skubal. If you're complaining the Dodgers spend too much, you don't like the deferrals, that's an offseason conversation. If you're looking in a vacuum at this deal for Tarek Skubal, you have nothing to complain about. The Dodgers are actually doing what a small market team's supposed to do, which is when you sell off pieces, see how you can maximize the assets that you get in return. I love this for Los Angeles, obviously. They are rightfully the World Series favorite at plus 150. They're going to have a rotation now. Skubal, Yamamoto, Otani, Snell, Glasnow, their second rotation, Emmett Sheehan, Robleski, Sasaki, Stone, Lauer. What I'd caution everyone here, though, is just because they feel inevitable doesn't mean they're a lock. We know there's no locks. You bet on sports long enough, you understand a lock doesn't exist. We've seen so many elite teams that look like they're going on a historical warpath get knocked off by a team that is hot at the right time, that maybe is too young and too dumb to not know what they shouldn't know, and they just move on with some momentum here. I don't think the Dodgers are the sure thing that everyone's acting like that they are right now. Tyler Glasnow hasn't pitched since May 6th. Blake Snell's been out since May 9th. He's made one start this season. If you remember the 2003 Yankees, go look at that roster. It was perfect. They lost the World Series to the Marlins. The 2001 Mariners won 116 games. They have nothing to show for that. The 2011 Phillies were as loaded as anyone in recent memory. Bupkis. Anything can happen in a seven-game series. And these same Dodgers, who were loaded a year ago, they needed seven games to get past the Toronto Blue Jays, who are sellers at today's trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
And based on history with Tarek Skubal, if the season comes down to a game in Seattle and he's at 99 pitches, they're not winning that game either, because he refused to go into 100 pitches in the playoffs for the Tigers a year ago. I love Skubal. I love what he brings to the table. I love the way that the Dodgers set up. But just because it looks good on paper, paper doesn't win championships. Doesn't happen that way.
Yep. I mean, these baseball series in the postseason get very random. You just mentioned seven games. It took them with the Blue Jays last year. I think this opens up some betting opportunities to look on the other side, Dustin. I think you and I will discuss some here today. Dodgers are fantastic. They're awesome. If you really want to make that bet and have it in your pocket till the end of the season, great. I think there's some value on the other way.
God bless. God bless. You will hear from Tarek Skubal when we return on his move to Los Angeles. Plus, who are the biggest contenders to knock off LA? I'll give you my top five on the other side of a numbers game.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
This is VSiN, the sports betting network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Welcome to Monday, August the 3rd. Be with you. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. He's Kelly Bidlin. Thanks for hanging out with us as we broadcast, as always, from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. It is, it's going to be a crazy day here on the network. You want to make sure you're tuned in all day long. We've got live coverage of the baseball trade deadline, the ramifications in the betting market once the moves are made, seeing how these numbers are moving. Stay with VSiN all day long as we got you covered in that regard today on the network. But we're getting ready for football season as well. Our college football betting guide, it dropped earlier today up at VSiN.com. A couple teases for you in case you were wondering. Paul Stone, professional bettor, with his top 15 quarterbacks in the country, Zachary Cohen, looking at the Heisman market. Zach also talking about a few teams he likes for win totals in the playoff. One in BYU to make the playoff. Wisconsin over 6.5, 7.5 wins. And the last one for Zach, LSU over 8.5 wins and to make the college football playoff, which is something I think our next guest could get behind. And I am so pumped to finally talk to this guy on the air, not just because I love him and he's super sharp, but because I get to say the word booby prize.
That's right, booby prize winner.
And Bill AD can't yell at me. So 2020 Circa booby prize winner, handicapper extraordinaire. He's Michael Montesano. Check him out on X at Bets and Reps. And he joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Mike, what's up, buddy? How are we feeling today? We ready for football?
Yeah, man. We're ready. Enough of this baseball stuff. I'm over it.
So. Are you like me where baseball was going pretty, I wouldn't say I was having a monster, but it was going pretty well for 3-4 months where I was like, all right, every day I'm doing pretty good. And then the last 3 weeks, I'm on a dog, they don't have a chance. I'm on a favorite, they don't have a chance. I'm on the over, it goes, I could not pick it right if I had the playbook ahead of time. Is that how your baseball season's gone too?
Yeah, I don't bet that much baseball. Yesterday, I just had I had one bet, and it was confirmed by a pretty good baseball handicapper, Sean Higgs. And you know, I had the Red Sox, but other than that, you know, I don't. I usually do first fives or, you know, some you know first five totals. It's just, I think Gil said this. What got him out of betting baseball every single day was 1 year after the All-Star break, he just like hit the tank and it was just hit the skids and it was like, yeah, that's it for me or something.
You know, yeah, it is quite an endeavor.
After the All-Star break is real quirky. You don't know where guys are going to go and, you know, where their heads are at. You got the All-Star break and, you know, who knows? And they got, you know, teams are completely out of it and they're calling up guys from the minors. It's tough.
Yeah, and you assume teams are like not going to win anymore because they trade away pieces, but the reality is they're humans who are still trying to win. Speaking of humans, yeah. Lane Kiffin, a borderline human, I think, by some people's accounts, he takes over at LSU, and I'm hearing a lot of people make the anti-LSU case, and I get it. Like, the way he handled Ole Miss, you don't like him, but from a pure talent perspective, from a coaching standard that's being set there in Baton Rouge, I'm with you. I think the LSU Tigers are a team I'm looking to buy on this year. How do you want to attack them in the futures market?
So what I did is I took, you know, I have a projection system and it spits out regular season win totals. It also spit out conference win totals. Well, what I did was instead of taking them over 8.5, I took them in their conference over 5.5 wins because I got a plus price at that at plus 115. If they win, if you're going to take them over 8.5, they're minus 115. So they have to win their three non-conference games. So if they're going to win their three non-conference games, they have to win six conference games, right? To go over the 8.5. So I went over 5.5 conference wins at plus 115. Listen, I'm probably in the minority. Maybe you and I are simpatico, but I like Kiffin as a coach. I'm going to leave all the personal stuff aside and what he did last year, but they have all the talent in the world. They're number two in talent ratings. He's bringing a quarterback from Arizona State that led them to the college football playoff a few years back. If Sam Leavitt is healthy, I think he's an extremely, extremely underrated QB. And we've seen what Lane Kiffin has done over the last couple of years with Jackson Dart, who's a first-round pick, Trinidad Chambliss, who everyone loves. He's like, you know, as a Heisman Trophy candidate this year and probably a first round pick. I think he's going to hone in Sam Leavitt again with all the talent. Their schedule is favorable. You know, I'm looking at their schedule right now. It's tough, but it's manageable, maybe not favorable, but it's manageable. So over 5.5 wins, I got them at 6.5 conference wins. So maybe my numbers are a little bit higher than what some think that they might do. But I'm going to jump on that plus price at plus 115.
Yeah, Mike, I like the look with the conference wins angle, getting a little bit better price there. I think that makes a lot of sense. It's a good reminder just for everybody out there. There are so many markets up, and if you're isolated on one bet, shop around might be a better market to make that same sort of bet in, like Mike's doing with these win totals. Sticking in the SEC, you got another one that you're looking at playing here.
Yeah, we're gonna stick with the same market, the conference win totals, and I'm gonna go Florida under 4.5 wins. I'm a big fan of John Summerall. Those who followed me last year know I had Tulane at plus 300 to win the American, and so again, I think this is a great hire. But we're talking about continuity. We're talking about a completely new system, the transfer portal, new guys trying to get acclimated, and I just don't have them maybe excelling in their first year as they might do in the next two or three years. Brutal conference schedule at Auburn, at Missouri, at Texas, at Kentucky. You know, they got tough home games, Ole Miss, Oklahoma. You know, I think an improved South Carolina team, and I think a pretty good Vanderbilt team, which some I've heard on the network don't like Vandy this year. That's fine. I think Vandy with their top quarterback, with their number one rated quarterback, who's a freshman coming in, you know, and they have a pretty good coach. I think they're going to be decent. So with all that, a tough first year, and I'm going to project them. I have them projected at 3.2 conference wins, probably more likely to 4 wins. I can see them getting. I can't see them getting over 4 wins. So I took them under 4.5.
Michael Montesano is our guest at Bets and Reps on X, professional handicapper 2020 Circa Booby Prize winner. I just love getting to say it.
You can say it if you can say it.
No, yeah, yeah. If I can say it, I can say it. Hey, look, it's early for your boy. Your boy's got one more week of doing daytime. Oh, it's been an adjustment. I'm finally like getting caught up on it. Now I go back to nights very soon. Mm-hmm. Sunbelt.
Hey, I won the booby prize, but last year I finished 83rd, tied for 83rd. In Circa Millions, that might be more impressive than winning the booby prize because there's over 5,500 people entries. So I don't know. I didn't win as much money, but
I would argue with you. Once you start to try to pick losers, you find out that might actually be harder than picking the winner sometimes. So I don't know, man. The booby prize is pretty impressive. The Sun Belt Conference. I don't understand the pricing here. I understand James Madison. The last two coaches, Cignetti and Chesney, have been awesome. But it's Billy Napier coming in. They return nobody. They lose Alonzo Barnett, the quarterback. They're plus 270 to win the Sun Belt. And this is a league that has divisions. Old Dominion after them, plus 460. Louisiana, 7-1. Troy, 8-1. Marshall, 8.5-1. Then it's 10-1 or longer from there. How do you want to attack the Sun Belt from a futures perspective?
Yeah, so like you said, there's still the one conference that has the two divisions, so you can actually bet on who will win each division. And I took Troy to win the Sun Belt West at plus 350. If you just look at Troy's program last year, they got to the final, the championship game last year versus JMU, who I did have to win the conference last year. And I also had JMU at 10-1 to make the college football playoff. But Troy had a valiant effort. They didn't win. So they're coming back this year with Gerard Parker in his third season as the coach. I also had over 5.5 with Troy last year on the win total. But they have an experienced quarterback in Goose Crowder, his sixth year at the helm. Very experienced, tough kid. I like him. But the thing to look at is Troy didn't do that well on the offensive side of the ball last year, averaging about 24 points per game. They brought in offensive coordinator from Tarleton State, Adam Austin. Mm-hmm. Well, last year, Tarleton State put up over 40 points per game. So I like that hire. I've watched the video clips from spring ball. I've listened to what they're saying. It seems like they're, you know, sometimes new offensive systems, it takes a little bit to get acclimated with the players, but it sounds like all systems are go. Goose is doing did a tremendous job in the spring. They do have a quality backup as well in case he gets hurt, but they have a challenge. They have a challenge in the Sun Belt West. All these teams are pretty equal, but at plus 350, when you have the coaching advantage, the new offensive coordinator, the experienced QB, I grabbed them at plus 350 to win the Sun Belt West.
All right, well, real quick before we go, in about a minute or so, you have two futures in the MAC that you like. What are you looking at?
Yeah, we're going to go to Toledo, which last year, unfortunately, I had them over 8.5 wins last year. They got to 8 wins, and we all know the history of Jason Kando losing his double-digit favorites, and he did that last year in 2 games, or that would have went over the total. But they have a new coach this year. Probably not a lot of people have heard about him, Mike Jacobs. He's coming over from Mercer. And he did a tremendous job winning back-to-back conference championships at Mercer. If you just go to Sagarin ratings, I do not do FCS ratings, but Sagarin does. They were higher than several of the MAC teams last year. So he's bringing over several of his top players. I have 7 games where they're at 3.5-point favorites or higher. 3 additional toss-up games. So at over 7.5, I jumped on Toledo in that regular season win total.
He is Michael Montesano. You can follow him on X, Bets and Reps. You can see his college football ratings as well in his Substack. Appreciate the time, man. Great to finally talk with you here on the program. And we will do more than DMing in the future. We will become texting buddies now.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, awesome Mike. Stuff. I really like where his head's at with Troy and with LSU specifically. I think everyone's getting really in their feelings and they're making it personal with Lane Kiffin. That team's loaded. I like the upside potential.
You know, Matt Brown was sitting on this desk last week before you were, man. It is very split LSU opinions we've heard over the past week on this show.
Well, maybe we can get an opinion on the player to lead the league in rushing. There is someone who wants the title. I'll explain why he can't lead the league in rushing next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, Dustin Sweetelson with Kelly Bidlin coming at you from the Circus Sportsbook downtown Las Vegas. You can always catch the show live, SiriusXM channel 158, YouTube TV, Visa Watch app, radio affiliates across the United States, God Bless America, and Game Plus in Canada. And always go back, download the show wherever you get your podcasts when it's all said and done. Looking forward to our next conversation. It's not just because he's one of the sharpest dudes out there. And we have the same bet to win the national championship in college football. Before we get to that with the VSiN College Football Betting Guide coming out, got to look back at what went down with the golf over the weekend. The Rocket Classic, the winner, Michael Thor Bjornsson. Did I get it right?
Yeah.
Michael Thor Bjornsson, 45-1 to win the thing. What'd you see from the kid over the weekend? Wes Reynolds joins us here, co-host of Long Shots, VSiN betting analyst at Wes Reynolds 1 on X. What'd you think of the kid pulling it off there in Detroit?
Yeah, Dustin, I saw a guy bet several times throughout the season and didn't have when he won, which is kind of a pattern for me, to be honest with you, this season. Just mistiming guys. And he was a guy that had a lot of pedigree, much like Jackson Koivin, who, by the way, won the 3M Open 2 weeks ago. Thor Bjornsson was that kid that was a college standout at Stanford, was the PGA Tour U winner, so got immediately promoted to the tour based on the college university points. And you know, didn't win right away. It's taken about a season and a half or two for him to win, but you kind of knew it was coming. It's all about timing it, but a great back nine yesterday to run away from a pretty good chasing pack and pretty much put it on ice with a couple holes to play. So very talented young guys, and you're seeing it with the pattern with Jackson Koivin, of course, just coming out of Auburn, winning in Minneapolis. So plenty of young talent out there on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of perfect timing by him yesterday, Wes, as we were, we were talking a bit about it on Long Shots last week or past couple weeks. The Jackson Koivin kind of national attention was maybe just a little more than I was expecting for after his win, or him being the next big thing, because there are so many of these younger players out there, and we've been waiting for some of them to go and pick up a win. Thor Bjornsson getting it done. I think he'll be talked about for a while now. Just real quick before we get to the Big Ten, we'll be doing Long Shots tomorrow. We'll be up tomorrow evening. Any early thoughts about the Wyndham Championship final regular season event? On the PGA Tour, Cameron Young, your short shot, plus 840. Cantlay, 17-1. And then it is Jackson Koivin at 23-1 over at DraftKings.
Yeah, here at Sedgefield, the Wyndham, the last chance to dance to get into those FedEx Cup playoffs. By the way, top 70 in the points make Memphis for the FedEx St. Jude next week. So ball strikers, guys that are great on approach, and you hear it every week, but this is not a very long course, the Donald Ross design down there in North Carolina. So a lot of your good iron players are who flourishes here. You don't have to take driver necessarily. So I will be playing some similar guys that I've been playing in recent weeks that have had good top 10, top 15 finishes, but haven't won. Ryan Gerard is certainly another one that I think I'm going to give another chance here at the Wyndham. So should be a fun event, and maybe not a star-studded because you don't have a lot of the big FedEx Cup point leaders in there, but should be very low scoring and a birdie fest here to end the season.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think I've got an early one for everybody too, Wes. This is always the, hey, I haven't run all my numbers yet, so I'm going to say 90% sure I'm in on this guy, but Hideki was someone I bet last week, man. He finished number one in that tournament, tee to green. I think it was lost it with the putter. Same old story with Hideki Matsuyama, but he's really put together some quality finishes here over the past month or so. 32-1 I'm staring at right now on Hideki. I think I'm going to be back in on him. All right, let's transition over to college football here. You wrote up Big Ten for the College Football Betting Guide. Three-team race, is that what we're really looking at here, Wes?
Probably, I think, with Indiana, with Oregon, with Ohio State, and then you kind of have that second group that's looking to get in that top four. I think Michigan is part of that. I think USC is part of that. Also Penn State with a completely new regime and almost a completely new routine team is part of that. But yeah, I think it's a three-team race. Indiana certainly has, I think the schedule dynamics certainly favor them not having to face Oregon in the regular season. They do get Ohio State at home in October, where that might be the only game that they're an underdog all season. So yeah, I think that is what we're essentially looking at, and probably for the playoff, like last year, you know, four teams from the Big Ten, four teams from the SEC, and then the other four teams dispersed among Notre Dame, ACC champ, Big 12 champion, and the G6 winner.
I'm just curious because you're an Indiana grad. You were along for the ride for the national title. You have Indiana in the betting guide winning the Big Ten, but you have Oregon winning the national title. Talk to me. What's the difference there? Why do you think the Ducks get over the top?
Yeah, when I look at the Ducks, Dustin, I just think the returning production that they have is as good as anybody in the conference. I think bringing your quarterback back, getting healthy at receiver, they weren't as healthy at running back at the end of the season. And it really showed, I think, because, you know, Indiana in the Peach Bowl just stuffed them. They couldn't do anything and they were forced to throw. And then the defensive line of the Hoosiers could just pin their ears back and force Dante more turnovers. But I think that they're going to be good on both lines, particularly the defensive line. They might have the best defensive line in the country. And if you get an Oregon-Indiana rematch in the Big Ten championship game from the Peach Bowl, you might have the best O-line against the best defensive line, with Indiana having the best offensive line. I think the schedule just sets up for Indiana here with who you avoid. You don't have to play Oregon. You do have to go to Michigan, who certainly should be solid, but you get USC at home. And you just don't get a lot of those, you know, grinder games like Ohio State is going to get. I think Ohio State, they play 7 of the top 9 projected finishers in the Big Ten. Now, they don't get any of the bottom ones. They don't get any of the Purdue's or the Rutgers that are projected to finish at the bottom of the conference. But the schedule is still daunting. Plus, you get that non-conference game with Texas. So I think Indiana, they would be my pick just based on the schedule. But Oregon, I think a lot of people sleeping on them out there, because their last impression, of course, was in that Peach Bowl getting curb stomped in Atlanta by Indiana. And I think that Dan Lanning, he's got that edge to him, right? You know, they're going to be motivated and they're going to be reminded all season, we got absolutely humiliated. So I think the Ducks are out for blood this season.
Yeah, and they're going to be able to run the football because they have running backs who are healthy this go-around. Wes Reynolds is our guest, VSiN betting analyst. His write-up on the Big Ten is available right now in the College Football Betting Guide up at VSiN.com. You can start today for just $9.99 or get a full year and save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. You said it before, though. 4 teams out of the Big Ten likely playoff bound. Ohio State, Indiana, Oregon is a given. Which direction are you looking for that 4th team? Is it Penn State, which is essentially Iowa State from a year ago in the Big Ten? Is it USC with Maiava back, all of their offensive linemen returning? Maybe it's Michigan with Kyle Whittingham taking over and Bryce Underwood back. Who is that 4th Big Ten playoff team?
It is Penn State for me, and I think a lot of it is the schedule. Of course, we know what happened last year. They started 3-0, and then they lose in double overtime to Oregon, and then they went in that tailspin and lost at UCLA, lost to Northwestern. James Franklin got fired. Matt Campbell gets hired. He was not the first choice there in State College, but he may be the best choice. Best decade in program history that they had, you said it, Dustin, at Iowa State. Keep in mind, this team 2 years ago, at least the base of this team that's now at Penn State, they went 11-2 and went to the Big 12 championship game and were 8-4 last year with Rocco Beck playing through a bunch of different injuries, the torn labrum, ankle, concussion, you name it. But they bring in 24 players from Iowa State. So this is kind of like they're doing the Cignetti from James Madison on steroids here with Penn State, bringing all these guys in here. But experienced quarterback who played Power 4 football, 39 consecutive starts, a lot of their weapons in terms of receiver with Carson Hansen at running back. They've got a lot of talent there. And I think that they'll be able to compete with the physicality, because keep in mind, they play that Cy-Hawk game every year against the Iowa Hawkeyes, and they've won 3 of the last 4 against Iowa. So you got to be physical up front in the Big Ten. And I think Iowa State will be, plus the schedule. They avoid Oregon. They avoid Ohio State. They avoid Indiana. You do got to take a road trip to Michigan and to Washington, but they're going to be favored in every single home game. And I think getting these guys that have been together, you're going to have an easier time blending them than you would think, even though this is a step up in class. So Penn State, to me, is the one that just got the big break in the schedule, and I think they could get a lot of confidence early.
You want a great in-depth breakdown of the Big Ten? Check out the VSiN College Football Betting Guide wherever you get your money. At VSiN.com/subscribe. Well, it should only be VSiN.com for the betting guides. He's Wes Reynolds. You can read him there. Also, VSiN.com with the golf every week, at WesReynolds1 on X. Thanks for the time, buddy. Appreciate you.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
Hey, 20 leagues, one mission. Just Win Bets, baby, is your premier source for daily sports betting picks. They break down the data so you can bet with confidence across the entire sports calendar. Scan the QR code on your screen or visit justwinbetsbaby.com today and start betting smarter with Just Win Bets, baby, the name. really says it all. I went on with the boys last week. We had a good old time.
There you go. Nice.
They were getting my WWE references that go over your head.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no shot here. Did you watch a SummerSlam over the weekend? Was that yesterday?
No,
Saturday?
No, because I graduated from seventh grade, I think, in 1998. Most wins Major League Baseball in the month of August. Gil Alexander's bet got off to a good start. So did mine. What should we look at? That's next on A Numbers Game.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back at it on A Numbers Game. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. We get tweets.
We get tweets.
At VSiN Live, at Dustin Sweetelson, at Kelly Bidlin. Really easy to remember all those if you can spell it.
Yeah, if
right
you can
here.
Spell it, ours are easy to remember.
So, some interesting stuff coming in. Matthew Mayberry writes in, we just had Rangers D-backs in the World Series. Braves Rays or Rays Brewers is definitely possible. I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm saying Rob Manfred in a season before a potential lockout, trying to maximize money for the owners. Remember, he works for the owners.
Yeah, his worst nightmare.
His worst nightmare would be those teams meeting in the World Series. He wants big markets. He wants headlines. He wants it to go seven. He cannot afford Rays Brewers. Honestly, like, that might change baseball forever if that winds up being the World Series before a CBA negotiation.
Oh, man, it could. It could. Hey, that Scooble start, that last start might have just changed baseball forever. Who knows?
Now, this is insanity. Mateo writes in, Tampa Bay to beat the Brewers. He got it 500-1 on an exacta.
Sweet. Right now?
I don't think. No, I don't think he bet that right now. I think he has that in pocket, but that is. Hey, look, I think it'd be good baseball. I think it'd be fun baseball. It'd be throwback because these teams don't rely on the home run. And the starting pitching is forward for both squads. But, man, I just don't know if you're hooking the whole country at that point.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I did see his tweet earlier. Yeah, yeah. Old Matteo there.
Yeah.
Yeah, 5,001 from November. Good on him.
Sean Higgs, what up, Sean? Writes in, love the spot from Mike Montesano earlier. Florida Gators under money. He likes the under on old Chomp Chomp down there in Gainesville. The Treble 20 writes in, are you related to the troublemakers who got robbed in Pitch Perfect? Should have won that first. Pitch Perfect won. The troublemakers got so screwed out of winning that. Their performance was so much better than the Bart and Bella's. It's a joke that movie like got so many sequels after that went down. Either way, Phillies may get hot late, he writes in. With all the talent they have, how could they, with how they started the season, I think the Phillies can get hot and take out the Dodgers. Me too. Me too. I'm still on them. You can still get them, I think, like 19-1 to win the World Series. I don't hate that because if they get past the Dodgers, they're going to be better than whoever they see in the American League.
They're so easy to root for. At least for me, I don't know. I find them so easy to root for. I have a feeling I'll be making that bet at some point. I forgot how much money I had on them to make the playoffs. So this not that I was counting my money already, Dustin, but I hadn't really been worried about it for a while.
Well, since the All-Star break, it's not gone well for the Phils, but we just need them to be there in October. This wasn't a regular season thing, right? It was always about what they're going to do once we get to the postseason. The game is played a little bit differently. Patrick Kelly writes in, good morning. Used to be a pretty nice Delta regional service between Atlanta and Tallahassee, early 2010s, I think. I used to do the Atlanta into Valdosta, Georgia, not direct, but hop on the regional. My flight from anywhere in the country, let's say it was from LA to Atlanta, was cheaper LA to Atlanta than it was from Atlanta to Valdosta.
Are you serious? That's crazy. Just because the hub?
Yeah, because it's a hub and there's only a few flights a day. The flight was always empty, too, by the way. They definitely lose money doing those regional flights.
That's crazy. Yeah. It's only like a lot of them shutting down.
Yeah, it's only like an hour, hour and a half flight. And if you think about it.
I was just going to ask. It's that long?
It's like an hour, 45 minutes. By the time you would get through security, take your shoes off, right? You get there early. You wait for the plane. You board.
Yeah, you do more in the airport.
You get off the plane. You probably could have done the 3.5-hour drive.
Oh, yeah.
That's always my thing, driving Vegas to Los Angeles. Is I'd rather drive because I can control when I come and go. But more importantly, by the time I got to the airport here early and everything goes down, and I finally get where I want to be in LA, I could be 20 minutes out driving.
Oh, and the biggest thing with those types of things, because, yeah, I did the, like, Tallahassee to Fort Lauderdale was only, like, a 45-minute flight. That's why I thought that was a little odd. But, yeah, you like to have a car, too, yeah. Right? If you're, like, in L.A., you need a car.
Driving city.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, then John Osher points out what we're all thinking. Wow, you know, that was awfully close to Shuttler blanks down the Yankees. It was very close before the break. I caught myself. I did not go full two-bomb there with that one.
I think you're good. I think you were good.
Yeah, I heard
the initial screw up, and I don't think you dropped it when you were correcting yourself.
No,
I didn't hear it.
I'm confident that I didn't. Speaking of confidence, you know who's confident? Will Levis. And I'm not really sure what the outrage is over what we're about to play for you. Will Levis, backup quarterback in Tennessee. He's probably third on the depth chart now with the addition of Mitchell Trubisky to back up Cam Ward. He was asked about where he's at in his career, what's going on, how he views himself. And he had this to say over the weekend.
I'm just trying to be the best version of me at this point, and I have more confidence than I've ever had because of that. I don't need to go out there and win X amount of games before I can feel the confidence. Like, I have the confidence right now. I know I've put the tape out there already that I'm a dang good quarterback in this league, and I'm even better than I ever have been. So.
The faith that you have a future as a starter in this league?
100%. I know I'm, I think there are not 32 quarterbacks in this league better than me. I know that for sure.
Okay. We can all acknowledge that that's not true. But can we also acknowledge, like, what else is he supposed to say? You know what, guys? I'm just happy to be on a roster. I'm probably, like, quarterback 48 in the league right now.
Right.
I'd really love for another team, though, to keep me on when I get cut from Tennessee at some point this year. He's supposed to say, I believe I'm a starter. I believe in opportunity. And if we're going to be fair to Will Levis, look, it's been ugly. He's very turnover prone. He has a lot of issues. I'm not sure he was ready to play when he started playing for the Titans. And there's a lot of talent. There's a lot of ability. If we were just watching him in gym shorts, right, practicing, you'd go, man, that's a dude. Problem is, there's more to playing quarterback than just the athleticism and the ability. But this is a guy that was compared to Josh Allen a lot coming out of Kentucky, previously at Penn State. I don't know what the outrage is, because what is he supposed to say there?
Yeah, it's such a great call by you. This picked up a lot of steam, and you just Google Will Levis right now. The amount of national, even non-sports news outlets that have run with this. It's the story because he sucks. And so, like, overdrafted, overrated guy. So we're all gonna crush him. But I'm with you. What the hell is the guy supposed to say?
I'm Will Levis of Eason. I host the night show here. I'd like to have a better, an earlier, more primetime time slot. I love what I have. I'm passionate about it, and I love doing cashing out, but I'm Will Levis. Am I supposed to believe I'm just going to be the backup?
Right, exactly.
I'm going to be the guy who fills in all summer long?
You're allowed to aspire to more in life.
Yeah. If I don't have that attitude, what am I waking up and doing every day? Just accepting something for what it is when I think that I can do better, I can be better? Like, that's how he's motivating himself as well, by saying, I want to be one of the 32 starting quarterbacks in the league. You start saying these things, they become real.
Also, like, I know it's been bad. But, like, do you know some of the guys that we've seen play quarterback over just the past couple years? There's been a lot of trash out there. I would think Levis gets another shot at some point here in his career. Max Brosmer last year. That was one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life at quarterback.
So I'm saying. Some other news from the Titans. An AFC exec says Cam Ward will take a jump in 2026. I saw this making the rounds on social. Talk about the pieces that they added. Win total 6.5. It's pretty trendy to go over on them. I lean over, but it's one of those where it's so popular, I don't know if I want to join it. Here's my favorite future bet for Tennessee. So there's a lot of new pieces being brought in. Carnell Tate, right? Calvin Ridley returns at receiver. Wandale Robinson, the third receiver for Cam Ward. And also offensive coordinator Brian Daboll. Wandale Robinson's season-long prop is 699.5 yards. They did not bring in Wandale Robinson to not utilize what he is. He is a volume receiver. He is a small slot guy. You feed him the ball 5, 6, 7 times a game. He had 1,000 yards last year for the Giants. And I think Tennessee is going to be losing. They're going to be throwing more from behind. But he was at 699 2 years ago. I think the familiarity in Daboll's system, Daboll trusting him, I think he gets more looks in this offense than Calvin Ridley.
I love the take. I love the bet. I'm a little surprised. If I had to guess what that number was, I wouldn't have thought it would be that high.
You were five.
Just because what he's technically the third wide receiver on the Titans, right? Yeah, probably be like five something. I would have guessed.
But he's played in the system.
I like the case, man. I like the case.
Yeah, he played in the system before. We have breaking news out of Major League Baseball. Trade deadline approaching 6 p.m. Eastern time. This from John Heyman. Joe Adele, you are a Cleveland Guardian.
Wow.
Wow. You imagine you have to pack up your house and move from Southern California, Orange County, and you're going to spend the rest of the year in Cleveland? Get ready to buy some jackets, Joe Adele. But hey, I like this move for the Guardians. Look, I've said I think the Guardians are a little feistier than it appears on the surface. They've not been playing well. The offense is always an issue. The thing that I like about them, while the pitching may lack the front-end stuff that we're normally used to seeing out of this team when they had like Bieber in their prime and whatnot, Gavin Williams, very strong. Parker Messick, very, very strong. And the question was, would they have enough power here to contend with some of the other teams? I think this is a nice little piece to pair with a healthy Jose Ramirez. Travis Bazzana has been killing the ball since he was called up from the minors. Manzardo has power. I like this move for Cleveland. They still have to like solidify themselves as a wild card team, but if and when they make the playoffs, I think Cleveland is built better for the playoffs than they are the regular season.
Yeah, this was sure feels like this was one of the more popular position player names that we were hearing the whole time was going to get moved. Also, passing just tweeting Mariners. Acquiring outfielder Taylor Ward in a trade from the Baltimore Orioles.
That is a great move for Seattle. They need punch. He gives them that from the right side. Notorious lefty killer. Will they make another move or two? We'll discuss that and more as we roll on here on A Numbers Game.